Hello and welcome to Weekly Open. I'm Brian. We've got Don and Cred on the line today. We're happy to be with you this squeezy Monday morning. Don, you're on the left. How you doing, bud?
Very good, very good. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Happy to be here. Happy to be with you on a green Weekly Open. Hadn't had one of those in a while. Cred, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going well. It's nice to get Don to talk about markets, not his personal life for a change. So I'm looking forward to this rare opportunity, you know?
Okay, starting with a bang. Well, Don, why don't you then?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's not really that much going. Like, it feels like there's been a lot of movement, but it's mainly been in altcoins, and it's been mainly in ones that have been heavily shorted, right? We've been seeing squeezes left and right. So if you look at the weekly time frame on Bitcoin, there's not really that much movement. But it's starting to look somewhat decent if you zoom in a little bit more, because we've been trading in this range between 16.2 to 17.2-ish, like 17.1, like this range here. And we're challenging the range high again. And if we start breaking that, there's only one real resistance until we can have like a proper bear market rally. Because 20K is going to be big. I think if we don't get rejected anywhere on the way to 20K, it's a good chance that we're actually going to take it out. And then you have a lot of air, I think. Like all of this, basically, I think is basically air. So we can slice through that. Just need a little bit more.
He says 30K is on the menu.
No, I think so, yeah. I think honestly, like this is just, it's been brutal down only. And if we just reclaim one resistance, for once, we're going to reclaim two or three at the same time. So basically, if we reclaim 20K, I think we're going to reclaim 24 and then run to 30. But we do need to do that still. Like, we have a bunch of altcoins running and people are getting euphoric.
Does that make you nervous?
Not really, honestly, because everything's down so much. And people are so stupidly shorting stuff that I'm not necessarily worried about the euphoria, because the only people that are really euphoric are the ones that have been like betting on short squeezes, right? Like you make 2x's, 3x's off of people being stupid and shorting something that's down 97% instead of just getting on with their lives, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily think that's like something to worry about too much. If it continues for like a month or something, like 2, 3, 4 weeks, where we have like a little bit of an alt season, which this has kind of felt like, honestly, on some of these pairs, then I start getting nervous if it doesn't break out of this range. Like as in, like if we have 2 or 3 more weeks of this squeeze action and we're still below like 18K, that's not a good look. But until then, I think it's time to have... to have like the aggressive bears blown out, and then we will see if we go for the more patient bears. I think that would happen if we cross over 20K or not. I don't know yet.
Ooh, I don't think I'm mentally ready for above 24K. Like 24K to me seems very bear market rally. 30K seems like it's the bottom end recovery. I would get sucked into that, I think. It makes that worries me a bit. Cred, how are you this morning? What are you thinking?
I mean, it's just, I think Tree of Alpha posted this. It's mental how we went from Binance is insolvent to boys were so fucking back in the space of like 1 week. thing is, you have to be grateful for that in crypto, because it means that everything plays out quicker and the squeezes are more aggressive and it lends itself well to a lot of price action. But in terms of staying anchored, oh boy, we certainly oscillate a fair bit. I don't disagree with anything that the Duck has said. I think the higher time frame, reluctant buyers will, or maybe unwilling at that point, will have to show up above 20K in one form or another. In the short term, it's been just a ton of short squeezes. I mean, you saw Cardano up like the most for the day alongside Solana and some other names. It really looked like someone got carried out on Lido over the weekend. If you look at just the open interest dynamics there and the size of the
shorting it.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, totally. Open interest basically collapsed. The move was enormous. You know, it must have been a case of someone just leaving a position or an algorithm running over the weekend. It's like, what's the worst that could happen? You know, I'm just going to go to the lake with my family and just have a chill time in this position and they're not having a great time. There were some big GMX kind of on-chain liquidations as well for ETH, and I think there's one on BTC that hits at 17.7 or something. Mm. Quite big position. So yeah, that's been the catalyst for a lot of this. It hasn't come from legacy necessarily, although legacy has been decent on the open. A lot of this is sort of, you know, people have understandably and correctly been dismissive of weekend price action in crypto because that hasn't done anything in literally months. But this weekend, it seems like many were caught off guard, and some of that, you know, liquidation-driven momentum is carrying over into the start of the week, which is cool for sure.
This daily view, it looks just like Bitcoin looked at like 3,800, 4K, and after the breakdown from 6K to 3K.
Yes.
Do y'all remember that? Like, that the compression was severe, but when you break it to the daily like that, it looks so similar to that breakdown back then. That one. Obviously, price action is slightly different, but I mean, overall, very, very similar.
This would be much quicker. That's the only difference.
Yeah, that one was that compression on that horizontal portion was pretty severe. Like, people were really, really bored during that. So you think this would move faster, or you're saying it's already moving faster?
Yeah, I'm saying that's the, like, structurally they're very similar. The main distinction probably isn't price based; it's time based. That this is a bit speedier. You know, if it continues like it is. But I think Don's range there is actually really good with the labels. All those levels are kind of hard to disagree.
I feel that. My mid IQ is showing.
Yeah, I think it's honestly, it's gonna turn around really fast, the sentiment and everything, if we just make it one or two more levels higher, even on the daily time frame. Like, just look at the range high here, right? We've tested this before. We had a false breakout. Everyone was like, okay, this is new lows. And what we've been doing instead is we kind of went sideways for a while, and now we're just walking up, giving no one a chance to get out, right? So if you're short this, like, where do you get out? Because it's just been like, these kind of grinds are really bad for people that are shorting. Because then you're like, this is probably going to turn around at some point. I don't want to sell, like, I don't want to close my position as in buy back into like a rally like this. But also, like, there's a lot of people that think like that, and then you get these pops, and
they're paying for the privilege of that position going against them.
Oh yeah. And so this is what you want to see. This is exactly what you want to see. And you just want to see it speed up a little bit, but this is perfect in my eyes anyway. If you go like this to the resistance, like, if this just keeps on walking up like this, I could see like just move to like 22 just in 1-2 days. And that's what you want to see, because then you basically have a huge bond. Like, this is just a huge sign, right, for everyone that's been on the sidelines, that now you can risk on again a little bit. And then we're going to see at least a month or two of good price action, even if the S&P doesn't play ball. So that's what you want to see, but we still need a little bit more, I think. But it's starting to look okay, and starts looking very good, just a little bit higher.
I wonder, in this type of environment, let's say at least the first half of 2023 looks good, like, who are our heroes? Like, all the bodies got carried out, pretty much every single bull. And I wonder which voices are going to show up. But before we get to that, let's a more technical question. Cred, if I remember correctly, last week you were talking about how you thought that the first move would not be the only, like, the final direction. So do you think that this is a way for bears to get carried out before we have more down only, or would you be willing to revise that statement upon a certain price point, or what?
I think technically it's still valid that whenever you have a fresh open, be it weekly, monthly, daily, whatever, and the move, and the price spends very little time trading there and breaks out very quickly and ideally inefficiently and hits something important, that it's reasonable to expect a mean reversion. I think if you want to take the bullish side of that, you at least use it as a kind of risk management tool, right? Like, you have an awareness in the back of your mind that, hey, you know, these, even if this is the bottom or whatever else, these moves have a property of being mean reverting, or at least there's that decent chance. So I'm going to like take profit more aggressively on my altcoin positions or whatever else. I mean, the full Beartard version of that is obviously like lol, fake move, and it's going to go back to the yearly open. So it depends how you want to cope, to be honest. I think it's not something that I use on its own to determine a directional bias. It's just something I keep in the back of my mind and try to align with, you know, whatever technical bias I have in the market. But if stuff starts to fold over, I think the yearly open is like a decent target. You know, if it gets really extreme, I think the chances of reversion are higher, but like up to a point. Like if it's like a really, really runaway type of move, I think the odds kind of shift lower. But if it stays decently range bound, like doesn't reclaim 20K and doesn't do anything crazy higher time frame, then, you know, at least it's in rent free in my mind is the yearly open thing. But it's not kind of the sole determinant of any one view, you know?
Yeah. Can I bring up something that would be supportive of kind of a bottom end type of view?
Of course, always. To me, straight into my veins.
we've talked many times about crypto's major market cycles occurring at the vertical lines, and how our last two big market cycles, when I guess crypto was at least more sensitive to broader markets, it was up only when the Dixie was going down. And obviously, we're back in the green box that we talked about most of last year, which was a mean reversion target. If it's not a mean reversion target, if we fall right through it and retrace all the way back and the Dixie top is in for good, and you know, all the comparative currencies are playing catch up on tightening or whatever, and dollar weakens, you could look at that as a opportunity for a bull market in crypto, just as a Dixie relative comparison. And that yellow box, the one that I was looking at, the 120 magnet, and Don was like, no, I think it topped at 114. It was like Pico top. I didn't even consider the kind of the bottom of that cluster from 2002. But this is very supportive if you're using these types of comparisons. And also the timing relatively fits, not necessarily perfectly, but close enough. Do y'all think this is something that we need to be paying attention to, or do you think this is coincidence and I'm just, you know, curve fitting?
I think it's the Dixie's been important. And I thought, to me, the euro against the dollar looks really, really good. So that would kind of support that thesis. I think it's quite important. You don't want to, if the dollar is too strong, like, why would you want to be putting your money in anything, including crypto? And it's been quite weak. So we've seen a little bit of buying power come back in. It's quite nice, and I kind of do agree. But just looking at that, like that your euro dollar chart there, it just looks so good to me.
Yeah, that's quite the dip and reclaim. Like, could you go all the way to the top of the range there?
I mean, looks like it. Obviously, it's been already like quite the big move. I played a large portion of it. I got quite lucky and got like really close to the bottom. But I've obviously shifted that back into like other investments, into crypto, into all of like everything that I pretty much wanted to buy. So like, I'm not a euro bull tart, but the good thing is, like, if you're investing in stuff, if the euro goes up, usually the dollar goes down and then stuff goes up anyway.
Yeah.
Which
euro is like nice. 55-60% of Dixie. So
yeah. So that's quite good confidence to have, I think.
Cred, what do you think? Are we still attached to kind of legacy market macro-y stuff?
You kind of have to be to some extent. I don't know. To me, it's too soon to make any evidence-based argument for a decoupling. Doesn't mean it can't happen, but, you know, being on the cautious side of that specific premise has been quite rewarding all year. I don't see any immediate reason to abandon it. I do think we'll know within basically a week or two, right, as to whether this dollar... you know, whether dollar is at an inflection point and or whether the euro reclaim is real, and all of that would be very supportive for risk assets. So like the Goldilocks scenario of that is some version of, you know, S&P firmly reclaims 3900, dollar fails its breakout retest, and euro reclaim is real, and then you're cooking with gas at that point. But I think you just need a little bit more price action to make that case concretely. But I'm always very slow to these things, so, you know, I wouldn't give it too much weight.
Yeah, that's fair. That was really the only, I guess, macro-y thing that I wanted to compare to, although, you know, stocks and everything else are worth paying attention to. One other thing I wanted to bring up on Bitcoin is there's still this weekly high from 2017 that I don't know if it's in people's minds, but it's something that I think is interesting. That I just as a point in the past where you kind of have this market cycle view, right? Like the kind of longer term people that we had broken down from. And I wonder if that, and if it lines up here too, between 18, 19K from where we tried to survive. So if we flip that, if it ends up looking a little bit like what your dollar or your euro painting was there, Don, and that gives you kind of that momentum to get back to 24, and that 24 lines up with the 200 week. There's a lot of good stories that align there between price, historical levels, and some of these moving averages and stuff that can fit the narrative that you're talking about. I also have these. I find them relatively cringy, like wedge type of things, but it's just this downward bear market compression, I guess, that I think is worth highlighting, which is really all that means in my mind. But just a couple of other things worth noting. Beyond that, even in log, where this is supposed to show more price action, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, 9 or 10 weeks of stuff that looks very, very small, you know, like this is in log, so it looks even more small and linear. But that all this price action looks so small because the gravity of those red candles that we had just took us down level by level. And I don't know, I think it might support this kind of god candle type move. I have no idea what would be the impetus for that. But I would, I guess I'd be here for it.
Yeah, I honestly don't think you even need much. This Bitcoin is basically going to go up hard if it actually just starts going up, I think. That's like the only thing it needs. Like price needs to go up for it to go up harder. It sounds stupid, but I think so many people are sitting on the sidelines or shorting this thing, just waiting for the times to get better, that you can have quite a sizable move just off of that, just a little bit of momentum. We've seen the momentum in the altcoins. We just need to see that translate into some risk-taking in Bitcoin as well. And honestly, I'm just looking at all of this. We've had so many bad news, so much bullshit happening. You'd expect we would be lower. And the fact that we're not, in my mind, is strength. And now you just need that strength of, okay, we didn't just go straight to zero, even though like a lot of shitty things happened. Just needs to translate into actual upside, because I hate strength. When you have strength, and that strength is basically just, okay, we didn't go to zero, it's fucking frustrating, right? Because if you get, like, if the market completely nukes and you get cheap entries, that's a good thing, right? I like it usually. If the market kind of shows strength by going up, I mean, if you're well positioned, that's also cool. But if the market just doesn't move, and that's the strength, that's just frustrating, right? And that's what we've been dealing with. But I think as soon as we leave this range here down at 17K, that's where we could maybe get some actual strength. Or, I mean, if we break 16K, actual weakness, but I don't think that's as likely as just breaking to the upside. I'm kind of hopeful. I've been hopeful for a while. Feels a little bit odd because I've been saying the same thing for the last, I don't know, like month or so. And we haven't had any price action going outside of this range. So I just hope I'm right. We'll have some fun.
Another situational question. Let's just assume up is the direction that we're going to go. Do you think that ETH and ETH BTC can lead this market?
Yes. Honestly, I thought that ETH would be weaker going into this range and basically going into the Bitcoin breakout, but this just looks very, very strong to me on the Bitcoin pair. There's a few pairs that just seem to go up more when Bitcoin goes up. It's ETH and Litecoin mainly. Others too, I mean, we've had Sol, but I think that's just basically because it dumped to zero and is now up 2x. Like it's crazy. It's at $16. It's at $16. People are euphoric because they're up 2x. And just like a couple of weeks ago, it was trading at 30. I remember having quite a bit of sold at 30 and selling it at 40. and now it's trading 16. People are euphoric.
I think it could go back to the bottom of our perma range that we had drawn for ages 25 to 30.
Oh yeah, I think so too. Just when you have this kind of momentum, you can the upside is like you can have it go quite far, especially if the market agrees, right? As in, if the market the Bitcoin goes up, for example, you can have a lot of people just cope short Sol because they're like, okay, Sol was kind of reliant on FTX and Sam. And now they're not there anymore, so let me just short it. It's all way overvalued, not realizing that it's down. I mean, just look at Solana. This is still down, even after this massive, massive bounce, right? It's still down 94%. So, I do not understand how people like get blown out shorting something like this. I just don't understand it.
Cred, you and I had talked about the $3 magnet. I had talked to you about whether... it might stop at like 5, and you messaged me basically saying, you know, what if, and you had a line somewhere in the $8-$9 range, as at least an intermediary bounce, which we've obviously gotten. You think it has legs or what?
I think if the rest of the market has legs, it has legs. Yeah. Even if you just look at the current weekly structure, it's basically broken out from the last range before it dumped to its lowest low. Just that single weekly green candle to the left before the final dump, we're above that now. And that's cool. Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty decent. A lot of this, again, has been kind of short squeeze oriented. Vitalik with the first tweet, bunch of people piled on short afterwards, got blown out again. And then the unit size buys at single digits also helps. So yeah, structurally, it looks fine. Looks good. I think it's, again, just like most things, contingent on the rest of the market. But, you know, I have no interest in, for example, fading this move right here on Solana. There's no structure, and it's coming off the back of a bunch of momentum, sort of urgent momentum, no less. So, I wouldn't rule out the kind of retest you're talking about. That'd be a pretty big move percentage-wise. But as Don said, like contextually, when something gets so bloody wrecked, you almost have to consider it in slightly different terms. I wouldn't be against buying some sort of pullback on this thing if it wants to hastily revisit the range that it's currently breaking out from, just because your invalidation is so clear. You know, anything back below wherever you just had your cursor would start to look pretty shady. Yeah, yeah. 12, 14, thereabouts. You know, at face value, this is a breakout after a massive short squeeze. And if you're right about momentum, it shouldn't be... you shouldn't be finding acceptance back within the range. So that gives you fairly clear levels to trade at the very least. So thing is, the only thing that got me perturbed was, you know, Don's understandably very jovial, but Bloomberg is shilling his bags now. I saw a Bloomberg article talking about how much Litecoin is up. So I don't know if that has him concerned at all.
I don't know. I think it's fine. I don't even have Litecoin in my list, I don't think. Like that's what Litecoin means to me. And I don't know if I'm alone in that. Like, is it just a forgotten coin and therefore it can go up? Don, I mean, can you, by the way, look at this. I got this tweet from Satoshi Lite on Up Only. Literally the top. Absolute Pico top. Sorry, Charlie.
So we're going to wait for the next time he comes on to sell, huh?
Yeah.
No, honest. I mean, this is just a really good looking chart. Look at the BTC pair. Like, this is insane. I still don't understand why this isn't talked about more. Besides the Litecoin fanatics, I'm surprised they still exist after the bear market.
I literally cannot believe it.
I mean, they've somehow survived, and they're somehow all over my mentions now. I'm the hero. I'll take it. I'll dump on them.
I'll be your god.
But it's just, for me, this is not a fundamental play. I mean, a little bit, given it's going into the halving, right? And historically, Litecoin before the halving has done really well. So you have a little bit of a background for the trade, but also... the chart's just really good. And I've talked about the monthly before. It's basically just we had a range deviation and we reclaimed the range with a lot of strength. Last month, we had a little bit of a pullback. I got a lot of people DMing me and asking me like, hey, do you still hold this? Because look how shitty it looks. And I just looked on the monthly and I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, this is a ginormous green candle. You have a tiny red one. And this month started off pretty well so far anyway. And then you go to the weekly time frame, and basically the thing that people were freaking out about was three weekly candles that were red that we fully reclaimed now, right? So it's just a really, really good looking chart. I don't really need to change anything in my positioning. And whenever I see something like this, I just raise my targets, honestly, because it's stronger than I expected it to be. Obviously, a lot of other altcoins are stronger as well than I expected them, but most of them are short squeezes. This is just a strong move to the upside. Consistent, strong buying. I don't know from whom. I don't really care. I just see that there's strength, so I'm trading it. And
what if it's Charlie? What if Charlie's buying back in?
That'd be quite bullish. I don't think he would, but yeah, that would be a meme. He sells the top and then buys back years later
at the bottom. The LTC BTC on that time frame has to be incredible.
He gained a lot of Bitcoin if he sold into Bitcoin. But even on the USD pair, you look at this and it's a range. It broke out to the upside. It retested the range boundary, and now it's trading above the point where the retest took place. That's just a really good look. And I think there's not really anything from this point where it's at right now to 100. And I think if it can get above 100, so basically if it can go from two-digit shitcoin to three-digit shitcoin, then you have quite some room to go, because I think that's where people start actually noticing it. Like, not just a random Bloomberg article, but people get actually excited for it. I think at that point, the YouTubers will shill it again, as in like the ones with the old faces, right? And then you can have a nice rally towards resistance. And I mean, as crazy as it sounds, right? And I tweeted this yesterday. I was like, I just want all-time high back. You just look at this. And I mean, especially if you look at the Litecoin Bitcoin pair, I think there's quite some room to go, not necessarily all-time high, and I'm not aiming for anything above all-time high, but I could see it go to 300, 250, anywhere like in the upper ranges here. And
the biggest reason why I think this trade is going to work is I just continue to think it's absolutely absurd.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's Litecoin, right? It's Litecoin. Like, but it's Litecoin going into halving, you know, and it's also coming off of the best looking Litecoin Bitcoin chart that I think we've ever had, basically. I just, this monthly is something that you rarely see, right? Like a deviation below a range like this with this kind of strong buyback. If you go back to the range high on the Bitcoin pair, that would be more than 3x, and the more than 3x on the USD pair, if Bitcoin doesn't play ball, would also already take it like quite a bit.
All right, Don is bullish Litecoin. I feel like it's a prerequisite to stop it at 5 minutes.
I would just want to say something like really quick. Yeah. If Bitcoin goes down, obviously all of this goes to shit, and all of these, like, yeah, Solana is going to shit, Lido is going to shit, like all of this is going to shit if Bitcoin goes to shit. So you better hope that Bitcoin goes up.
I want to do one more screenshot tweet thing that I had marked from ages ago, which is Kyle Samani telling Ryan Adams, let's bet on Sol ETH price end of year 2021 versus 2022. And the answer, it was down 83% on a relative basis.
Oof.
Literally over a 365 day period there. And pretty much marked the bottom. And I don't know, there's a lot of rumors about funds doing different things and being in trouble in different ways. I don't know that there's any proof that Multicoin's one of them, but they've been awfully quiet. But
would,
yeah,
be surprised,
I just,
honestly,
shout out to Ryan on that one. I think he won that bet pretty squarely. And yeah, Cred, what are you thinking about? What coins, what prices, what thoughts?
God, tricky. I agree with you. Like, something about Don's trade just seems absurd, but that's why it might work. Like every time I like, it's one of those things where if you listen sort of premise by premise, like the argument is internally consistent and you're like, okay, this makes sense. But then you zoom out and this guy is saying it's going to 5x from here or some shit. And you're like, what the fuck? If anyone else said that about Litecoin from its current place, you just think there was some moon boy idiot or whatever. So I'm definitely conflicted about that one. You just have to, you know, look at the price, and it's kind of been following along the roadmap that's been set out. And I think, you know, Don generally doesn't marry his targets either. Usually sell early or manage the trade or do whatever. So God knows, I don't have strong views about that. The only stuff I'm really thinking about is mostly things we've covered, like, you know, Bitcoin above 17.6. That's definitely, I want to see that to see continued risk on in the market. Because otherwise you're faced with that uncomfortable scenario again, where Bitcoin kind of just does nothing and the rest of the market rallies. And you kind of accrue a debt, like a bullish debt in those cases. And, you know, you have to pay it back at some point. So that would make me less optimistic. The interesting thing is ETH is kind of doing that right now above 1300. It's the exact same daily structure, the top of that range, fake out above it. And then now it's back above where the fake out took place. You know, at like 1299 is the daily level that I've got. So that's already like you basically want Bitcoin to look like that to some extent, to be trading above where the fake out took place. That'll be very good. As long as we don't get daily closes on ETH back below 1300 and the momentum only accelerates, I think 1.1420, 1480, thereabouts, something like that. Is a decent spot. I know Don's targets are much higher, and that's based on the weekly, and it's completely understandable. You can make that case, I'm sure. My sort of temporary concern is if you look on the weekly line chart on ETH USD, that sort of 1400 something level is where you might reasonably expect a lower high to form if market structure is going to continue to be bearish. So like even on the 1300 breakout, I don't think you should ignore 1450 or, you know, that type of area. So that's kind of what I'm looking at. And a lot of my views are still currently, I mean, they're driven by two things. And again, I don't have clear views at this exact moment because, you know, we're coming off a weekend with a bunch of liquidations, legacy markets just opened. There's really macro stuff coming up this week. So, you know, I'm not super strong there. But the couple of things I am thinking about specifically from the macro world are, you know, S&P 500, the 3900 reclaim would be really good. And then as we discussed, the dollar/euro reclaim or retest type of stuff. I still think that's going to really matter if this is going to be a question of weeks and not days.
So what about 3900 is most important to you? Just where it broke down from here?
Yeah, I mean, if you just like the level I've got on the, like, I use SPX 500 USD or whatever, but if you just like Alt H, the, you know, I've got like 3911 as a level, both on the weekly and on the daily. It's just a really good level, you know, and it's been a very clear kind of inflection point for the market. There haven't been that many fake outs when it comes to that structure. So, you know, when it was support, it acted as support very consistently. When it was resistance, it did the same. And so that type of reclaim would be really strong because it would mean that monthly support at sort of 3710, 3760 is held. And that test, or, you know, that retest could then led to a reclaim of a very important kind of pivot. So, and that would, I think, kind of facilitate a lot more upside. So yeah, 3900 is very interesting for the S&P 500. Again, it's only Monday, so you have to kind of see how the rest of the week develops. But this daily is looking, you know, pretty decent. As far as that kind of stuff goes. And dollar's pukey at the moment. It's trading through its lows. But I still think 102, 103 is kind of scary. Thing is, like with me, you'll always get like the cowardly opinion, which is fine. It's just kind of how my system works. It's very conservative. I'm late. Like I'm always late to these things. But you know, when I do get the trigger, that, you know, the fact that I have to be so patient in order to do anything, it means that once something does form, I'm not in two minds about it, you know, like, oh, maybe, or like, you know, one foot in, I'll scale in. It's like, I either have nothing, my system's just like a blank, but when it gives me something, because it's relatively rare, if we're talking about the high time frame swing side of things, I will just take it, you know. And most of that is, you know, Bitcoin above 17.6 is an okay signal, above 19 is better. ETH, I'm sort of scared of 1400, but the 1300 weekly reclaim is fine. And the S&P 500, ideally weekly, but daily is probably okay at 3900, is also pretty pretty strong. So the thing is that there is like a very annoying gnat in the back of my mind, which is like the bear cope little devil sitting on my shoulder, being like, you just had a bunch of liquidations over the weekend, overnight in some illiquid session, altcoins went up. Usually when you have like outsized moves where someone gets carried out, that spills over to the rest of the market. You know, it's been like 2 days of green. Structurally, not a ton has changed, and you know, sentiment seems to be exaggerated relative to what's been achieved. So I'm just going to spend the rest of the day fighting my demons and the voices in my head, basically, just like any other day.
I think one of the things I find incredible is the same, like these narratives get so strong amongst the public that are completely wrong and mistimed. For instance, currently, and this is, well, this is forward projecting, almost everybody I know acts like recession coming. And one of my questions is, are we basically peak recession where Mark, like maybe we do have like numbers come in of recession, but are we experiencing that being priced into the markets already, being priced into sentiment already? And now we start seeing like actually the recovery from some kind of short recession from a earnings induced, what do you call that? Not quite soft landing. And then the other things is just like all of the meme stocks, all of the risk on stuff got obliterated. It's not really representative in the S&P 500 to me, where you already have this higher low, which you were talking about those levels and things to think through. Just like the total basic view is, okay, down move started with lower lows, and then we didn't get higher highs. We got lower highs, and then downtrend, downtrend, downtrend with lower lows, and lower highs. And then now it's higher low. It's like, okay, are we going to get a higher high? And like, boom, you have legacy market passive trend, the recovery of the 60-40 portfolio, maybe. And you're the worst of the worst got carried out. Like, there's potential that this move in Tesla, for instance, even was like Elon Musk having to sell to pay for Twitter. And sure, maybe he didn't go broke in the matter, but he's no longer the richest person in the world, and he definitely was getting punished for his own bad decisions. And that's one of the biggest companies in the world with the, you know, one of the most famous people in the world. ARK, just absolutely Eiffel Tower obliteration. Finally, you see some lower volume, lower inflows going into that. And I just kind of wonder, like, have we seen enough pain amongst the junk? You know, the meme stocks are going broke. My beloved BBBY, Bed Bath & Beyond, Party City, some of the retail stuff that was like super, super shorted, going bankrupt. Some other meme stocks, I think, getting crushed as well. I can't remember which ones. But I mean,
GameStop, for example.
GameStop. I forgot about that one.
GameStop is on 86% right now.
Yeah, it hardly looks it on that log chart, but you know, you put it back in linear, and it's all the momentum started well above this price. So every single person that thought they were a genius for, you know, squeezing the hedge funds is getting wrecked. But even just across like tech and stuff, you know, all the man, this is unbelievable to me. This looks actually really nice. You know, Shopify, other things, just absolutely crushed. And so I don't think that that's fully reflected in the S&P, because the S&P has real companies in it, not just the people that trade on Robinhood. And I think we could have priced in a lot of the pain of the most obvious, you know, retail people getting punished. And that's why I think it's possible that we just see a whole bunch of sideways or, you know, less than impressive recoveries out of those beyond the squeezes. And then we see some stuff that has better fundamentals actually recover and help carry some of the indices. Now, the counterpoint to that is the short squeezes that we've been talking about. If that gets too spread out, right? Like, we've seen it in things that generally people have some degree of respect for, even if they got bad stuff associated with. You mentioned Sol, and you mentioned LTC, and you mentioned Lido, and you know, the ones that have had these recoveries. If that spreads out too much, I'm gonna get really worried. You know, like if we just say, oh, we're going to float all of the, you know, coin market cap, coin gecko list down the 200-300 coins and Bitcoin stays under 20K. That's not helpful to me. I would really like to see the hot ball of money start to reform in us as a small ball, you know, not as like a giant red star that's like a dying, dying star. So I'd like to see those flows concentrate, I guess, is my point. And if we just go spread down the risk basket, it's going to make me concerned for the potential longevity of this move.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree with that. If we have too much of the altcoins move without Bitcoin showing anything, then it starts looking really, really bad. It doesn't really look like it to me right now. It just seems like, I mean, when something's down 98% and it jumps by 2x, right, it's still down beyond 90%.
Yeah.
So, like, that's okay, but it cannot go on forever. I agree with you there.
I can't. I think it was 2018, and I have some old tweet that was like, I can't wait for my bags to 10x so that I can break even.
yep.
So it's kind of that they're at 2x from that, you know, so from all the new folks who bought the top.
Yeah, it's kind of wild, honestly, this market, because like Cred said earlier in the show, we went from peak sadness across everything to people wondering, okay, is it back, and just like trading shit coins everywhere. I mean, Solana is up like almost 20% today after a bunch of good days. You can barely see this 20% move, right? I mean, this is just insane. Cardano the same. So the moment the switch flips and stuff goes up, you have to either be on it or you have to be very, very resistant to FOMO, because I mean, you don't want to be buying the top of some of these short squeezes. I mean, Lido, for example, that's a wild one. It's up a shitload, but it's technically down 30% from the top of that short squeeze. So you got to be a little bit careful on those fronts, but I think you just have momentum right now and the S&P is giving us cover. So you can just play the momentum, right? If you see some setups that are similar to Lido or Solana, like stuff that people short, I think now is a good time to kind of take advantage of that. You're going to get some gains out of it, most likely. And just rotate it into something decent, I think, is the best advice I can give, because you don't want to be stuck. I mean, I'm not hating on Lido. That's actually something I want to be buying as well. Or Solana. It's both interesting to me, and they're both up a shitload. But in general, you want to be rotating. Like if you're doing the short squeeze plays, you want to be rotating into ETH. You want to be rotating into Bitcoin. You want to be rotating into Litecoin, maybe. That'd be nice. Pump my bags. but yeah, so I think that's the name of the game now. Like you find something that you like, that you think could short squeeze. There's a chance that it will. And if it does, nice, you move that profit somewhere else.
In terms of things coming up this week that could affect what's going on, or what's going on with price action, the DCG Barry stuff is still kind of in unknown territory, but the deadline is like today, is that right? January 9th for the whole Gemini thing. I think it's today or tomorrow. And then Jay Powell speaks on Tuesday. From a macro perspective, people are going to listen to every comma and pause there. And then Thursday, there's a CPI report for inflation numbers. So those can put a dampen on our mood, potentially. Is there anything else that y'all are looking forward to?
Looking forward is a curious way to put it in this environment. Also, oddly enough, I mean, I just read the Cameron Barry interaction on Twitter. It seems that, I mean, Cameron's tweet was, will you or will you not commit to solving this by January 8th in a manner that treats the 1.1 billion as a promissory note, a promissory note as 1.1 billion. So that seems to have been yesterday. And I guess today, because it's Monday, it is the technical deadline if you're going by business days or whatever. So that's still weird and tricky. I want to say CPI matters, and it probably does, but we've just seen a reduced effect of even what should be decently potent macro catalysts recently. Like we had employment data, like NFP, that didn't really do all too much to displace the market. It seems like those flows are just concentrating around the really big stuff, like rates decisions, and everything else is kind of just lower impact at this point, which is an interesting development. It's probably a good one on average, but kind of worth bearing in mind in terms of where you want to pick your spots. This is always me coping, but I do genuinely think if you're not a good momentum trader, I wouldn't trade this, because like if you're kind of the, you know, a more delicate range trader, or you like your retests, it's likely that if we're talking near current prices, by the time it retests, you probably don't want to be buying it. Yeah. Kind of the only acceptable solution for this current sort of market structure is just momentum continuation. And if you don't know what you're doing with momentum continuation, which is actually a fairly tricky beast, then I don't think this is necessarily for you. At least it's not for me. But, you know, what else is new?
Yeah, I think that's a fair warning. I think for myself, I'm more in this mental state of wanting to rotate from things I might be either in or dollars to things that I want to be in. So kind of where do I think long-term strength can lie? The other thing I'm looking for is, do I believe this can last for a year where I might actually be able to achieve long-term capital gains? I know, Don, you're kind of thinking in the same lane, although it's a different tax structure for you guys. I think that's a worthy thought for people that are DCAing or trying to enter in the bear market. Although most of the people that so desperately contacted me wanting in during the bull market now aren't interested, which is a good bottom sign.
That's always funny, right? When you tell people to buy, they do not want to. When you tell people not to buy, they most definitely will buy anyway.
Yeah. The chat kept mentioning Adam, and it's been one that's been showing up on socials a good bit.
I love it, actually.
Yeah, it looks really good. And this is another one that meets my moving average criteria, probably right alongside some resistance flipping type stuff. I think $15 is potentially on deck for Adam without too much struggle, assuming that there's, you know, potential for continuation in the market.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, it just looks like a higher low to me.
Yeah.
Even on like you look at on the weekly, this looks like it made a higher low, and then you could target, I think, all the way up to 20 if you think this stuff has legs.
Wow.
So you have highs, you have the highs here, you retested that, you have a low here. So if you want to be very aggressive, I think this makes sense.
Yeah, I like to trade from 11 or 12 to 15 or 16, but maybe I'm just my expectations are too low. I'm still scarred, Don.
I mean, that's a good trade. I think 15 makes sense to me too. It's just I think this could have a little bit more legs than what we used to. This was basically a rally without anything behind it, right? And Bitcoin didn't do anything. This is just on its own. So if you have Bitcoin kind of help us out, I think we can have at least a similar rally to this. And I mean, Atom went from 6 basically all the way to 15. Now it was at 8. I mean, 16 to 24 isn't like that far away.
Yeah, Atom at that time, when it went from the lows below 6 back to 17, I mean, almost a 3x, it was basically acting in isolation in that move. The rest of the market wasn't really doing anything. And it's great. It's a great reminder of, hey, somebody serious was accumulating that at that time. Like, are they done yet? What's going on there? This Atom has always been interesting to me. It's like it does live in its own little cosmos in a way. Look at this. I mean, just this forever range.
But that looks like it wants to go to you. Like I look at this and this seems to me, and the craziest part, right? And this is what has me excited about Atom, and it's one that I want to buy in general, is if you check it against ETH, everything's taken a beating, right? Like this might not look interesting to you because it didn't redo anything, but everything's down 90% against ETH. Like you just go through all of these and everything's down 90%. This has been ranging against ETH. This is one of the strongest coins. Given, I mean, ETH's just been completely dominating this bear market. And you look at this and you see that Atoms just kind of held the pace as well, which is a really, really good look. I think that's one definitely keep on the watch list as well.
I think I've anticipated that ETH relative breakout every range high. Like, I've got excited about it every time. And it's just been such a ruthless coin. But yeah, I mean, the point still stands. By the time it actually makes the move, it's when people are discounting that it can.
Yeah. So it's definitely very far up my watch list. I think Solana, that you have a few coins that look really interesting. I think Lido is going to be interesting. I think Atom is going to be interesting. Dogecoin can always be interesting. It's not necessarily the favorite of mine.
Too many bag holders, or are they wiped out?
I think it's basically Elon Musk losing a little bit of following, and not just a little bit, actually. Like, he's been losing a lot, and he's been kind of spearheading a lot of this growth. So when you have the hero fall, it kind of makes it less interesting to me anyway. Not that I was particularly interested in Dogecoin, besides when it was trading very, very low, and I sold like for 2x before it went up 100x.
I will say, yeah, Doge BTC on the weekly looks all right.
Yeah, it looks okay. It's just that I want to be buying something like Atom. I want to be buying something like Litecoin. I don't want to be buying something that is basically under a dying star, which I think Elon Musk is really hard to turn that perception around that he's got now. Obviously, Tesla is going to bounce eventually. That's kind of, funnily enough, going to change a little bit of his image, because then he's going to look like a money maker again. And that's kind of the persona that he's built for himself. But I think he's not really helping it that much anymore. Dogecoin, yeah. That is. So I want to be buying stuff that I actually think is decent. And I would rather buy Atom over Doge.
Doesn't it feel like Twitter replaced his attention span versus Doge? Like, yes. He used to care and like Doge, and now he just bought Twitter for $50 billion. So it's like the time that he's not spending on Tesla and SpaceX and whatever else he does now has to be dedicated to making Twitter great again. My problem with Doge, you know, historically it was like under 20 sats, it's automatic. My level for that now would probably be like 100 sats, which is so far away. Basically, yes. It would mean Doge staying relatively flat versus the dollar while Bitcoin goes back to like 50 or 60K. And, you know, maybe in the next all-time high breakout for Bitcoin, new bull market, whatever, at that point, Doge can get out of its dollar-based stupor and BTC relative reckoning, and it can pump after a Bitcoin dominance run. But that I can't imagine that happening for like a year at least. So I just have no interest in it in 2023, which is why everyone should buy it now.
Yeah, the one thing that I could see, right, if crypto gains some steam, this is kind of because I think we're just completely mid-curving it. The one thing that I could see be the case with Dogecoin is that if crypto gets a little bit of steam, gets a little bit of attention again, that Elon Musk is just going to jump back on the Doge train, because that's kind of what he does. He looks for something that's popular, jumps on it, promotes it, and then if it's not popular anymore, he just kind of leaves. That's been the history with Doge as well. So maybe we get some nice pumps out of Dogecoin. I just struggle with it because I don't want to be reliant on the whims of Elon Musk when I can just trade coins like ETH, for example, that I'm pretty sure are going to be good, or yeah. Atom. Like, if I want to trade all coins, there's a lot of ones that I can trade, and I don't need to necessarily just trade something that Elon just throws at me. It's just not my style.
Agree. Craig, anything to wrap us up with?
BNB USD weekly is coming off a nice failed breakdown, which is cool, I guess, because that thing got obviously FUDded into infinity during peak panic, and it's just trading above its more recent breakdown level. So if you think that breakdown level shouldn't have happened in the first place, then that's a pretty decent weekly close. That's sort of intent, because we were talking about altcoins. That's a decent one on my radar as well.
Is any better even to the range than Binance and Coinbase to come out of this whole thing as super, super dominant?
It's sad, really. I mean, have you seen the stats of Binance, like the kind of market share of Binance?
Got to be.
I was like
75% or something. Yeah,
something in the range of 80%, I think. And I mean, that's horrendous, right? If we're talking about a decentralized, it's a space that is only existing really because we kind of herald ourselves for being decentralized, and then
that's 80%. That's Gox level big.
Oh yeah, it's horrendous. It's really not good. I don't know how that's going to change, because at this point, Binance is so powerful that it's going to be really hard to upset it. But I mean, my fingers are crossed that that's going to happen, just because it's not good for the industry. You don't want to have 80% of a decentralized space in one hand. That makes it not decentralized, right? So
yeah, I think, and for America, it's Coinbase is basically going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least Coinbase isn't a black box, right? As a publicly listed company, you get a decent amount of transparency by virtue of that function. Whereas with Binance International, at the very least, you don't. And that's been fine thus far, but it's quite a different beast to Coinbase, because it's several times larger, like by far the biggest incumbent, and you don't have any of the benefits of transparency that you would get with Coinbase. So that part is tricky. I want to see that trend down as the market recovers. I think that'd be cool, but I don't know if we will. And I think Coinbase also today had its first kind of insider buying since its IPO, I believe.
Fred Ersam or whoever it was that sold it like 400 plus all its stock, then that would be incredible.
I don't think it was Fred. I can probably find the name if I look, but you know, that's something at the very least. It was director Tobias Lütke bought 11,000 shares at $34.
Good.
So
I mean, something. I think Coinbase is pretty cheap, personally, mm-hmm. but
yeah, it's like a cyclical stock, right? It's like it's gonna get oversold or kind of mispriced when crypto winter hits hardest. It's also going to kind of attract unreasonable just valuations when the market's very bullish. So if you want to express a view on market cycles, I don't think coin is... Well, the thing is, whenever you take crypto bets not using crypto, I always think you have to start with the premise that, do I think this will outperform Bitcoin and ETH? And if the answer to that is unclear or no, then you know, if you have, assuming you have other options, probably not the best thing. Like, you can imagine a boomer crypto portfolio, some guy holding like Coinbase, GBTC, MicroStrategy, Nvidia, and a bunch of other stuff. And I think if you have the options of actually kind of buying crypto itself and getting more sector specific exposure, you always have to weigh that against, do I want the boomer portfolio? But I think coin is cool.
I guess to put that in context, Coinbase is, it went below an $8 billion market cap, which is well below like what Kraken was raising at way smaller size in previous fundraising rounds. Kraken has raised money somewhere in the 10 to 20 billion range as a private company. FTX US all by itself, I think, was valued at like $8 billion or something like that in 2021. Just trying to provide context, you know, FTX.com was raising at $32 billion at the peak. So Coinbase, which is now dominant in the U.S., is trading at $8 billion on public markets. So probably a discount. Will it 2x faster than BTC or ETH? I don't know. That's the calculation to do that, right? In terms of which one you choose to put your money in.
Yep.
Don, anything you want to leave us with?
I think this is just the best chart that I can come up with. As long as we're kind of in this looks okay thing, we're probably going to see some altcoins go. If we start going up to here or here, I could actually see Bitcoin pull some air out of it, which would be a good thing to see. Not necessarily for you if you're holding like altcoins, but in general for this move to continue. If we start falling back down into any of these levels down here, then it starts like turning really fast, especially given that we've had a lot of altcoin shorts, like short squeezes and a lot of altcoin action. So if you have like a little bit of a move and it's a fake out and we go back down and a lot of people just bought altcoins because altcoins been printing, that's a bad look, right? So you don't want to go necessarily far below 17K. I think that's where it starts looking shaky. Anything below these lows basically starts looking really bad. So 16.4. But if we come back up, I think we can have a really nice rally. I would hope that it's Bitcoin-centric for the expansion of it. So basically, like, you get a big move up and the altcoins basically take a nosedive, at least against Bitcoin. Bitcoin goes sideways, altcoins catch back up. That's been the play so far. I hope that's going to continue. And then we'll see. I'm still positive, still think there's some upside to be had, hopefully. And I mean, it's a nice day, right? Like, you finally see double digit percentage increases in the watch list. Almost everything's up 5%. And it's just really just begun, basically, if I'm right. If I'm wrong, I've never said anything of the sort. And
R.I.P.
Yes.
All right, we'll leave it there. Hey, if you're here and you're alive, then you're doing better than most of our heroes from 2021 and before. Thanks for joining us on Weekly Open. Best of luck to you as you trade internet money, JPEGs, whatever it is that you're looking at. We appreciate you being a part of this show. Like and subscribe, all that good stuff, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.